From UCB Comedy Studios, this is the UCB Digital Podcast. I'm Nate Russell. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the UCB Digital Podcast. We're talking with filmmakers Michaela Smith and Lucian Flores on today's show, otherwise known in some parts as Loose Seal Productions. Though we talk to them right off the bat about how they no longer necessarily want to lead with the Loose Seal Productions and want to lead with their own names because they're trying to put themselves as creatives out front and the idea of production a little bit in the back seat. So we're not calling them Lucille. We're calling them Michaela and Lucian, and we are glad that they are here. Sophie Alkezian's here, too. Hey, Sophie.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Wow. Thank you.
It's been a while.
Thanks so much.
Interesting sort of like lesson there to learn, because they said that they, out at the top of their careers, put Lucille Productions in to make themselves sound more official.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're like, whoops, everyone thinks that we're just a production company, and they're sending us pitches, and we want to be creatives on a project.
Yes. Yeah, that's weird how it kind of backfired, I guess.
It's very so funny. Weird. I mean, it's like, it's definitely something that it's like when you're starting out, you know, the people say fake it till you make it, right?
Yeah.
And there's some aspect of truth in that. You know, it's like fake it only so far as it's not totally insane, right?
Yeah.
If you fake it too much, people are like, well, you're full of shit and I don't trust you. But fake it enough that says like, maybe my resume doesn't read like the perfect resume for this job, but I have confidence and I have skills and I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, that meant saying, instead of being like, hey, we're Michaela and Lucian, let's put a name on it and a production company name on it. And then it sort of like winds up being the kind of like lingo that they learn later doesn't mean what they thought it meant, which is just an interesting lesson to learn.
Yeah, for sure.
An interesting lesson learned. But you know what? We're all about talking about those lessons here, learning from them, and making ourselves better as creatives. And you know what's a big part of that on this show?
What is it?
The Maker Book Club.
Oh, my God.
Guys, we're coming up on the Maker Book Club session. This is our book club for filmmakers. What's the barrier to entry? Be willing to read a book.
Just read. Yeah. Just read, like, truly less than 300 pages.
Yeah, it's like 120 pages.
It's
this
so
is a quick
short.
Book. It's a fast book. You guys should
it
read
has
it.
Pictures.
Lots of pictures. Good pictures, too. But our Maker Book Club, we are reading The Director's Six Senses. And if you're listening to this episode while it's fresh, you've got until December 7th. That's when our book club meets at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll be live on Facebook. We'll be recording our podcast as well to be released the next week. There's still time for you to join us live. No one has yet taken us up on the offer to join us live. But guys, you could be the one who does it. Email us at podcasts@ucbcomedy.com. We're meeting to chat about that book. We're going to have some Irish coffee and get some nice hot takes from some filmmaker friends of ours about the director's six senses. So we hope you will join us for that. What else we got going on?
Well, we got a theater moving, so
I know.
That's kind of big.
Yeah. We're right now at UCB Comedy planning to shoot some stuff at the end of the UCB Theater's run here, the final days of the UCB Theater on 26th Street. So we're in crazy, like, production coordination mode. I'm trying to get, like, a documentary film crew together with, like, a week's notice, which not as insane as moving the whole theater.
Yeah.
Let's put it in perspective.
Totally.
But it's still been a very adventurous process, especially with, like, Thanksgiving smack in the middle of trying to put this together.
Yeah, but considering you'll be out of the country for part of this process.
I know. That only just makes it that much more complicated. But all the more fun, right?
Yeah.
So we're coordinating that. We got some projects that we're trying to wrap up before the end of this year. We actually just came to the end of our run with our friends Fronson and Fronson, whose pilot was at the NYTVF last month. We just ended their web series. You can see all the episodes, including their epic finale, which is basically a short film that Mujan Zolfagari made.
It's so funny.
It's on our Facebook and YouTube pages right now. It's called #content, and you can find it there. It's some great content for your ear holes,
mm-hmm.
And we're really proud of it, so we hope that you will check that out. All right, let's dig into today's conversation. Michaela Smith and Lucian Flores, otherwise known as the duo of Loose Seal, a.k.a. Loose Seal Productions, a.k.a. Michaela and Lucian, who are directors and writers, and on their website, they also list themselves as cinematographers and editors. They are a package of filmmakers who work together and do just about everything on a production, but their real passion is driving towards directing and writing. So we talked to them about their moving to the big city from Boston University, doing some hustling, working as a directing duo, and some of their work with places like Mas Mejor, some branded content stuff, as well as getting into the New York Television Festival. And we talk through what the experience of being an artist at the New York Television Festival is like. As always, we sipped on a Bronx beer while we had our conversation. This week's beer was the Bog Smash Pale Ale with cranberries.
Whoa.
Yeah, which is a new one because it's a fall seasonal beer. It's out right now. You can get it for the next couple of months. Cranberries can only grow in a few parts of the world, and lucky for us, New York State happens to be one of them.
Woo.
So the Bronx takes those New York cranberries and add some woody aromas, bitterness.
Smashes them up.
Smashes them right up and stuffs them in a can of beer. So it's the perfect complement to the crisp outdoor weather. I can't say the word weather because I've had too many bog smashes. Also,
he's bog smashed.
Yep. And then they note here, it's super fun to yell bog smash.
Yeah.
Which is true.
Bog smash.
It's very fun. Bog smash.
That's right? Fun. Yeah.
Pick one up the next time you're at the UCB East or anywhere that good craft beer is sold. And go to thebronxbrewery.com for more information on all of their excellent craft beers. All right. Let's dig into it. Our conversation today with Lucille, Michaela Smith, and Lucian Flores. So you guys met in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Were you guys part of that same comedy troupe that the like all of those Pangea guys were in? Or
No, actually. No.
But we were kind of in the same path because we went to Boston University.
Yeah.
And a lot of people from Pangea, well, not everybody, but like Zach Poitras was on Pangea. He went to BU. I think.
Didn't all those guys go to BU?
Maybe they all did.
They
actually,
all met each other in a comedy group at BU.
Then that must be it.
And Jeremy Bent was in that same comedy group, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been a little while. But yeah, we went to Boston University, and that's where we met.
We did not do comedy in college.
Okay.
I did a week of this improv group at the very beginning of college and just stopped doing it for some reason. I don't know why. And Michaela, you did not, right?
No. I didn't.
We did other things. We both
other film things.
Yeah, yeah. We both. Had a radio show, and we, what else did we do? We both worked for the student newspaper. Michaela was the movie critic, and I was the arts, or the music critic.
Music critic, okay. Yeah.
And when you moved to New York, were you already working together? Was that like a thing that was like, we're going to move together?
No, not really. I mean, we had a lot of overlapping classes at BU, so we had naturally helped each other on projects and collaborated in different ways. But Lucian's from the city, so he just naturally came back and started doing his thing. And then I eventually gravitated here, and we started working together mostly because we didn't know what we were doing. And so it was easier to work in numbers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we have very similar sensibilities, so they kind of just naturally meshed together.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we started doing small sketches, and one of the reasons we did that is just because it's cheaper to make small sketches.
Sure.
And then also you get to experiment with genres and kind of know what you're good at.
Sure.
Because if we had graduated college and then said, hey, let's make a feature, it would probably be terrible. So that was our way and still is our way of learning, the nuances of like how to shoot different genres.
Sure. And in terms of like the way that you guys work now, like you just did a project that was like a branded project,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And you came onto that as directors.
Right.
As a directing pair, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of like the dynamic of the duo at this mm-hmm. point, how do you guys sort of like work and how do you break down the differences between how you guys, come into a project?
Yeah. I mean, it honestly changes every single project.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a little bit more director focused and Lucian's a little bit more writing focused, but we overlap a ton.
Mm-hmm.
On projects like that, where we are just straight co-directors, we mostly split the work 50-50, which sounds crazy, but we do. And I, again, tend a little bit more towards the visuals and mm-hmm. he'll tend kind of in the other direction, but it really is 50-50.
Okay.
Yeah. And it, like Michael said, it totally depends on the project. So sometimes we'll pitch something like for a sketch and one of us will just take a draft or two or more, or sometimes we'll decide to switch off drafts back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, it's just really in terms of like what we're doing at the moment, because one of us might be editing something and then one person has more time.
Sure. And are you guys a company now? Is this a real business relationship, or are we still in the zone of like we're two people who are working at a lot?
We have an LLC, so we're very happy about that. It makes everything so much more clear for your taxes and stuff like that. So we're very hyped about that.
One thing we've been doing, because there is a, so we've started, we graduated college in 2014, started making stuff maybe end of that year or early 2015. And for the longest time, we were billing ourselves as this company. But lately, we've kind of dropped that self-branding. We've just been like, we're co-directors, co-writers. And because we realized that it kind of confused people to say like, oh, we're Lucian and Michaela, we have this company. But realistically, what we don't want our future to be like, oh, we're developing a movie for someone else or developing a project. We want it to be
in the way that a traditional production company does. Sure. So we kind of learned that we were confusing people by calling ourselves Lucille Productions. Because then they were like, oh, let me send you pitches and you can like produce something for me. It's like, no, that's just like our LLC name.
Yeah.
And when we need to do business, we do it through that. But we're co-directors.
And more that you're trying to use that as like a pass-through or a loan out for yourselves to like take on directing jobs.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's rad. It's interesting to sort of learn the difference between those two things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you,
it was
like,
a long road.
Do you do projects that you do more like production services for through that company or no?
I mean, we do.
You do?
We do. So in those cases, it's like Lucille who is like, one, pitching the project, but then also like, and having had written it, pitching the project, and then getting like all the production budget, and then we go out and we execute the project. But we're always in charge of those projects versus then like bringing in like directors or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
We've never exclusively produced through Lucille, I don't think. Michaela, you've done some producing jobs recently, but you didn't call that Lucille.
No,
that was just
me.
Okay.
Picking up side work.
Yeah. How much is Lucille like part of your diet at this point? Like or the makeup of your work? You guys still doing day job stuff or side job stuff or what?
Side job stuff. I would say like 90% is the work that we do together, and then 10% is stuff that we're picking up on the side or we're doing writing on the side and stuff like that. Yeah.
Because most of the time we try to find stuff that we could do together because, you know, it's just that if that's been our model and we kind of don't want to, you know, none of us really wants to go on to a project for like a long time and then kind of leave Lucille behind. Right now, at least we both want to just kind of work on the stuff that we can co-direct. Maybe in the future, do more individual stuff. But at this time, and I think also, you know, kind of at our age too, it's nice to be working with someone consistently and like being able to be the other person's advocate.
Well, I think also too, the work then goes through like two rounds of editorial. And like if you have someone who like knows your voice and knows what you're trying to do and then they're reading your script and they're like, yeah, you're not there yet, like you have that sort of, because you have parallel sensibilities and also just parallel work, you can have like you say, like an advocate or another editor who's just going to make you so much better.
Sure.
So that's kind of why we've done a lot of work that way.
And this has all been in the last, since you sort of timelined it out there, since like 2015 or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a pretty quick timeline to get to a place where this is taking up the majority of your time. You seem to skip the part where you get out of college and take a job that you hate and hate your life. And then sort of like kick yourself in the ass to like do something different.
Yeah.
So like what has that been for you guys then? Like what is the, it seems like you both are sort of naturally hustling.
Mm. Yeah. So I think for both of us, the last semester in college, Michaela stayed in Boston. I went to L.A. because BU has this semester in L.A.
And semester abroad.
Exactly. And I think we both kind of came to this conclusion that, you know, we could be an assistant or at a production company and make a lot of contacts. And that's great for so many reasons. But that wasn't necessarily, that's not really our personality type. Like, I don't think we'd be good assistants, to be honest. And I think... Yeah. I don't know if we would really be doing as much of the work like on the side in our own creative projects if we did that. And if you look at directors, and this is obvious, but if you look at directors, what's on their resume that got them their bigger jobs is that they were just directing, and they were directing a lot. So we wanted to be in a position where we could direct a lot and we could make, you know, multiple sketches and shorts and stuff.
And I think we also realized that if we scared ourselves a little bit by, like, not getting another job, that we would do the work. Because like if it's a matter of like, oh, I have a 9 to 5 and then I'm going to write in the evening, I think you can like excuse yourself from that work sometimes when you're mm-hmm. really tired or whatever. But if you don't have another job and then like you're just sitting around in your pajamas at 10, it's like, oh yeah, I need to do my work right now. And like yeah. it gets done. It's I think it's a gamble, but it gets done.
Sure. And then what was sort of like going at starting that off like for you guys? Like what's the process of like, okay, yes, people are directors because they are directors.
Mm.
You're right. But that's also kind of like, you know, like how do you start?
How do you start?
Where do you go? And what do you start doing for yourselves?
I think we just started making short form stuff yeah. after college. Like no one was paying attention. No mm-hmm. one was hiring us to make it. No one was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But we started doing that just because we couldn't afford to make like a short film or mm-hmm. like a feature. So we were like, let's just make 3-minute things. And then like we were like, oh, you know, bringing that into the sketch comedy world would allow us to do like a lot of really cool stuff and
sure.
stuff that we have inclinations and proclivities to anyway. And so... and then we started figuring out, oh, sometimes people pay you to make sketches and like, or at least cover the budget and like your living expenses and stuff like that. And so we kind of transitioned in that way and have been going from since then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think also it's still, you know, it takes a while to figure things out and we still haven't.
Yeah. I gave a very airbrushed version of what that year was like. But yeah.
We made also just a bunch of random promos for small companies and
yeah.
and that's not stuff we share much because it isn't that exciting and mm-hmm. it wasn't really our creative voice, but that was something that we did.
That's true. That first year we made a series of like 10 soccer cleat videos
because
it was just like that's what we were gonna get paid to do that month.
Yeah
but yeah, they're not funny.
Yeah,
they're definitely not funny.
and we both it wasn't like we had this conversation early on and said we're gonna stick to comedy and that's gonna be only thing that we do. I think Mikhail and I just have an interest in telling stories that are comedic and dramatic. Like we don't want to have something that's like 100% drama or 100% comedy. We think
yeah.
there needs to be a little bit of both.
Yeah.
So I think just in the short form you tend to only see like comedy sketches that are successful and fun. You know,
sure.
like there are dramatic short films, but there's not really as many dramatic like 2-minute videos that I've seen
sure.
necessarily.
I also think that after school when we were trying to like figure out what to do, we were watching more stuff and especially on YouTube and like when you're watching short form stuff
mm-hmm.
and like that was a time when we were getting into like Key and Peele and stuff like that or like really getting hip to what they were doing and it was like, whoa, this is really incredible cinematic work
mm-hmm.
but then also so funny and like that would be something really cool to strive for. So
yeah.
that's how we kind of went down mm-hmm. that avenue.
Sure, sure. That makes sense. And then, so it sounds like then that you are sort of like picking up some client work for yourselves that is not necessarily like what you want to be doing, just like get going.
So,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, in the beginning, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, what are the opportunities that start to transition you out of that? Is that where Masmei Horror came in?
Not right away.
Uh-huh.
I think something that we realized was we could be better. Directors
mm-hmm.
if we worked with people who brought their own scripts with them. So we started reaching out to people who we really admired,
yeah.
Especially people who were writer performers, to be like, oh, you have a sketch like in your drawer that you haven't made because you don't necessarily know camera stuff, but like we think you're super cool and we want to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started making things that way. And naturally, that formula kind of lended itself to a bigger audience. Like, if you had people in it who did have, you know, people who were going to watch their stuff.
Sure.
so something that we did along that sort of path is we reached out to Poitras, like, I don't know, a couple years ago now. And we were like, we kind of know some of the same people because of Boston University. We think your stuff is really cool. And we started making stuff together with him.
Yeah.
So it went to him like that, yeah.
That was like a... The video we made was one of the only ones that we really had any like press on. Like it
mm-hmm.
ended up on Splitsider and then people saw it and that could be the video that we would send to companies saying, hey, we just made this sketch and it looks kind of cool and I think it's funny. Do you want us to make something for you guys or do you want us to pitch stuff to you? So
mm-hmm.
that, I think that video was that was Taking the Stairs Like a Pro,
mm-hmm.
which is just a weird video. But I think that definitely helped kind of, I don't know. It was just a funny video, and I think
yeah.
companies were able to resonate with that.
I think part of it now is that we're looking at it in retrospect and being like, oh, A led to B led to C sort of thing.
Sure.
Versus like at the time, you were like, how can we make funnier stuff? It's like, go to people who are funnier than us, mm-hmm. and like, and just elevate the work that way. And then naturally that did work. But at the time we weren't like, oh, if we work with this person, then we'll do this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know?
And I still like that video. And I think you sometimes look back at your earlier work and there's stuff you don't like. That video I still think is very funny, but that was just me and Michaela filming it and Zach acting and like no one else there, which was nice. Like, we haven't done that sort of thing in a while, but back then every video we made was just like that with like a friend or two holding like a boom or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why do that stuff though in a co-role way instead of saying I'm going to do X and you're going to do Y?
Yeah.
Like one of us produce and one of us direct kind of thing?
Yeah. Like why look for a partner in building out your trajectory who you're sharing a credit with rather than someone whose credits complement where you want to be going?
Well, in the beginning, we actually did split it up more. For a while, I wanted to be a cinematographer, so especially during school. So I would DP stuff that Lucian was director on. But it turned out that, you know, we were making equal decisions. Like, he was making, like, camera department decisions or suggestions, and I was making directorial ones, too. Yeah. So we ended up just kind of combining everything. Yeah. And so while I was, like, the one holding the camera, like, he was, you know, still 50% the cinematographer, too, in sort of, like, the auteur sort of way.
Sure.
So. And we actually did, for a few of those early ones, split up who was directing, too. Mm-hmm. Like, we'd take turns. Like, you would direct one sketch. And normally it was just, like, whoever wrote it would direct it. But we kind of stopped doing that. And it wasn't necessarily a conscious decision. I think just it worked better for us both to be feeling involved, to be, especially if you're making stuff independently. Like, you're putting so much work into it that, and we were both just doing so much into it that we didn't necessarily feel as if it was like one of us was directing.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said before, and like I've said a million times, like when we kind of launched into the freelance thing, it was kind of like treading water. And so if you have someone else being like, oh, yeah, like I'm treading water too, but like we'll just like keep treading water and see what happens sort of thing. It's like it keeps you on that path a little bit more, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not, I mean, I have no idea how long we'll continue to co-direct or co-write. I mean, I imagine we'll still work together in many capacities. But for now, that I think makes a lot of sense in our working relationship to just both throw all our efforts at something. And that way we can get more opportunities.
Sure.
Yeah.
And to present yourself that way towards like people who are looking to hire you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a 2-for-1. So.
Sure.
We can use that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, especially because we do, you know, we do direct, but a lot of times we'll also produce too.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
And that's just a budget thing most of the time. Like, we love having producers on, but realistically, that's not always going to be the case. So if we're co-directing, we'll also take like a big share of producing and getting that done.
Yeah, yeah, that definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
And then in terms of like, I think that initially we were going to sort of like use this as like a case study of your New York Television Festival experience. But that was also a project that you guys did through Mas Mejor, right?
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's maybe like talk about like how that project like started to come about, because it seems like that has been a place where at Mas Mejor that a door was open to you guys to sell some stuff that was comedy, and not necessarily like a branded thing, right? Like,
it's a budget, and it's
comedy, and it's short form, and it's you guys, and so maybe just like talk about how you got the foot in the door there.
Yeah.
And then also, like, what led to this project that has wound up at MITV?
Yeah.
Well, we were a little bit lucky because we heard about Mas Mejor right when it was starting up.
Yeah.
And so it only started up, like, early 2016, which is crazy to think about because we've made a lot of projects with them since then.
Yeah.
So to be completely honest, it was a cold call email. It was like, we want to make stuff for you guys. Like, what are you guys doing? What's your deal sort of thing? And then we didn't hear anything, and then got a response from someone there, and they were like, oh, hey, sorry, we didn't respond to this email. Like, come right in. And we were like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were very surprised.
We had a meeting with them, or you couldn't be there for that meeting.
Yeah, you went to the first one, yeah.
And I had no idea what the meeting was going to be. Because I think our original email to them was like, we'd love to collaborate with you guys.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if they were going to have us on to potentially direct stuff, or if they're just like, well, if you guys want to collaborate, here's something to edit.
Or just one of those informational meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and turns out they wanted us to direct stuff, which was very cool. But then their first opportunity, they're like, we have these three sketches and they're in Spanish.
They're already written. They're already all crewed up, excuse me, and paid for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're in Spanish. Like, do you feel comfortable doing that? And my Spanish isn't amazing, but I know enough. Michaela knows enough.
Yeah.
But we were still kind of still a little bit skeptical. Then they're like, the Spanish sketches star Arturo Castro, who's like Jaime on Broad City.
And now on Narcos.
And now on Narcos. And we were just like, oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. We can direct in Spanish. Like, not a problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
So
those were the first things. And that was like a week after that first meeting.
Yeah.
We were just like, okay, let's start prepping for these. Like, let's go. So those were actually the only pieces. There were three sketches that we shot in one day. Mm-hmm. So like a series format piece. And those are the last things that we only directed for them. Everything since has been, we pitch ideas basically in logline form, mm-hmm. which is awesome. And then they say yes or no. And then we go away and write. And then there's like a drafting process. And then they send you out to make it and deliver it. So like winding back to like the project that was in NYTVF, we pitched this project about two Latino cousins who basically are gentrifying something that's totally normal that like lots of Latinos know about, piraguas, which are snow cones. They're not fancy or at all. Gentrifying them, making them seem exotic, in boutique for Brooklyn hipsters and making bank off of them. So we pitched this idea, and in a very short turnaround of like 3 weeks between it like being greenlit and delivered, shot this sketch. Hmm. I don't know if you want to talk about the sketch.
Yeah, we can talk about the sketch.
Yeah.
That's, we did that in the summer.
Yeah,
last summer. It was like we met the actors on the day of, like we casted them, but like sometimes with this stuff you don't really have an opportunity to really talk too much. You could exchange some emails, and we like to send character notes and like some backstory stuff, but we met them on the day of, but it just was a very fun shoot, and I think the video we made was very fun. I think it's super satirical in a way that we like, that isn't necessarily saying, you know, this thing is bad. It just like shows. It just talks about cultural topics in a fun way.
It's like kind of satirizing cultural appropriation, if that doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I think it's done in like a loving and a satirical way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we made this sketch, and then we really wanted to make more with these characters. So we pitched like a web series version of it. So we made that with Mas Mejor, and that was three episodes. So the way that show, the format was like they culturally appropriate a different part of their family or Latino culture in each episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like the second episode we made is they give a tour of their grandma's house, and their grandma doesn't know that they're giving a tour, but they're basically showing these Brooklyn hipsters around her house, and then she confronts them, and it's funny. They have like an empanada dinner.
Yeah.
But that's like my great aunt that we put in the sketch, and she's like never acted before, and she's like in her 80s, but she did great. And it was just like fun to kind of combine this, like combine these worlds that we both exist in as like probably like we could be considered annoying hipsters to some people, but then also like as a Latino and you know, kind of seeing this stuff take place within New York.
Yeah.
And then so we wanted to submit to the festival because we really enjoyed making those four sketches, but we were thinking, and we still think, that it could work even better in a 30-minute format. So we wanted to enter it into the festival to see whether there was interest in that at all, in terms of the people that they hook you up with to speak to and stuff. Yeah.
So looking at the festival, it seemed like an opportunity to put work that you had and were excited about, and also like saw as having runway to bigger, and wanted to sort of see a direct correlation between the doors that festival could open for the project and what you want to get out of it.
Yeah.
Okay. How did that work out? Or like, I guess, like, how was the experience of the festival for you guys?
It was great. We won every development deal, so that was awesome.
Every single one?
Every single one. So
run away.
It couldn't have been better.
Wow.
Yeah. We're flying back to LA after this.
Thanks for coming back.
just for this.
To do this. Yeah, that's amazing.
But we loved the festival. It was awesome. It was really, beyond all the people that we spoke to who showed some interest in this thing that we're interested in,
yeah,
I think it was almost self-affirming in a way, because like sometimes when you work freelance, you work kind of in isolation, and sometimes mm-hmm. you're like, should I be putting my time into this pilot? Should I be putting my time into this?
Yeah.
And just suddenly be in a room with people who are saying, yes, I think that's a good idea, or like our peers who are like, yeah, I do the same thing. I sit in coffee shops all the time, sort yeah. of thing. It's like, okay, I'm not like the only one, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I guess like, so just in terms of like, as an artist at that festival, what did you guys get access to as an artist? Your work screened.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
One
yeah, yeah.
time. Right.
It did. Yeah.
It's a great accolade. I was there. As well.
Thank you.
So you have that experience of screening it. But,
yeah.
But on top of that, what does being an artist at that festival like look like?
And,
like,
okay.
Yeah, what did you get out of that experience?
So, yeah, we could break it down because a lot of
break
people,
it down.
Obviously, people listening
people
to this don't know. Yeah. So it's New York Television Festival, and it's basically 6 days of a combination of meeting with development people at production companies or networks, and then workshops with just like writers or showrunners. Then there are like these more premier events, which are like Q&As with actors and showrunners and like premieres of shows.
But so, yeah, the crux of it, at least like for us, was that these executives are sent all of the pilots ahead of the festival, and then they ask for meetings based on what they've seen. So having that ability to get work in front of people who often like aren't going to take cold emails, you know, was really great. Even mm-hmm. if even just the meetings that were like feedback, being like, I like this, I didn't like this, or whatever. Never mind ones that like we're going to hopefully keep relationships going
yeah.
with, you know.
Yeah.
And how many meetings did you get as part of the festival?
Seven.
Seven meetings?
Seven.
That's great.
Good middle number.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's spread out over the course of days.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
So it's not just like you're not speed
yeah.
dating.
No,
it does feel like that.
It kind of feels
yeah.
like a little bit.
Yeah.
But they were super cool. And some meetings, you know, you definitely have, and it's more of just like, hey, how's it going? Like, what do you guys do? Let's get to know you. And then some of them are like, they basically want to hear a pitch. So that was one of the fun parts of it, or just almost an awkward part of it, is you'd sit down, and then you'd slowly realize that they want to hear a pitch, but you don't want to start pitching it without them saying, like, pitch it to us.
It is kind of like speed dating in that way.
Because yeah.
it's like, are you here just to, like, hang? Are you, like, looking to get married? Or, like, just, like, trying to figure out what they want within the first 10 seconds.
Sure.
Yeah. yeah. But, I mean, it's just, as Mikhail said, like, so much of our time is spent when we're not on set, just like working at coffee shops or places. So it's nice to be in this environment where you're just constantly meeting new people and meeting the people who greenlight the stuff that you want to make.
Sure. Yeah. And then you also mentioned the other sort of like workshops or events and stuff like that. Did you eat all that stuff up, or how much time did you take advantage of it?
We weren't able to go to the one that we really, yeah. really wanted to go to,
yeah.
which was, yeah, because you weren't there either, which was the search party screening.
Oh,
we love search
party.
Yeah, it was
yeah,
counter program. We very seriously considered not going to our own IPC screening because we were like, I love search party so much. But no, we missed
yeah.
it. Yeah, so we went to those. And again, those are like great to hear. You hear about different people's paths because like everyone's is different, and then that can like either be again self-affirming or like, holy moly, I need to get like moving and do this sort of thing now. And then also there are these things called development chats where like there's specific conversations with specific usually VPs, executives at companies who are basically talking about what their brand is looking for. So that was really informing too, just like to be able to better pitch them in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is an interesting festival because it's like so much of the audience for it are the participants.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, and it's mm-hmm. it's necessary that it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you go to a film festival, and yes, there's a benefit to the film festival participants to
mm-hmm,
it, and
mm-hmm.
there's some stuff that's like industry oriented or you know, speaking inside baseball shit.
Yeah.
But there's also the idea that like people want to go see the movies and
right.
people
yeah.
want to
yeah,
go
yeah.
see the, you know, are there and can just like buy a pass to just sort of like experience
yeah.
the love of cinema.
Yeah.
It's an interesting festival because like it doesn't feel like there is, you know, especially for like the competition
screenings. Mm-hmm. It's mostly friends and family.
Totally.
Right?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
And like, and that's just sort of like a really nice thing. You get to cross pollinate with other people. Yeah. They mm-hmm. program you against people who they think you have similarities yeah. with. So it's yeah. like you're meeting those people totally. And can be supportive internally. But the rest of the festival is just like largely a networking event for yeah. the participants yeah. in a way, which and is cool. But it's just like not the same as a film festival in that way.
Yeah. And it's extra help by the fact that there's a happy hour every night. So
yeah, yeah. The year that we did it, they had a beer sponsor.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And so it was like, it was Stella Artois that year. And it was
yeah,
like,
right.
I don't think
yeah.
they had a beer sponsor this year, but it was like, no. it was like they had so much Stella.
They had
they were
so
like, please
much
take this
every...
the last of please take this Stella. It's just sitting here.
By the end of the week, I was exhausted. I was, but, yeah. but I met so many people. Mm-hmm. So,
well, listen, yeah. we talked about, like, we had our screening the first night, and we had a bunch of friends and family come out. And then the next morning, you have, like, all your executive meetings. But it's just like, they force you to kind of stay out because you want to support like everyone who came to support you, but then you know I just felt like, as Michaela said, at the sixth day we were just like we're so tired, we've stayed
never
up,
never drink again.
We've just like, you know, you're just there the whole day,
but it's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And were any of those meetings, I guess in terms of like aligning expectation with like actual experience, were any of those meetings truly about expanding that to 30 minutes, your show, or were they more about what's up, y'all? Let's talk about other ideas, or like where did this project wind up as a result of participation?
Well, I think it's about 50-50 between those two things, because some people said, hey, we really dig what you did, mm-hmm. but like that's not our brand. That's not what we do. But
sure.
like, what else do you have? Or like, we just want to like start talking, and we've had like some, you know, upcoming meetings based on that. So like, that's really cool. We don't know where that's going to go. For the people who were interested in the project itself, I think it's a little bit too early right now to say like what's going to happen, but there's been some promising feedback and interest in seeing more. And like, we do have supporting documents. Like, we have a whole Bible for like a 30-minute version of the show.
Yeah.
So we've definitely been sharing that around and stuff like that. So we'll see.
Yeah. I'd say if anything, we didn't really have many expectations going into the meetings, or at least I did not. I don't know about you.
I'm an optimist, so.
Yeah, I just sometimes like to expect the worst and get pleasantly surprised.
Sure.
So I went in thinking like we'd have like one meeting and nothing would happen. And so I think the biggest takeaway you can get, because I don't think many people are going to sell the show on the spot at NYTVF. Might happen.
Happened to me. I don't know where you were.
Yeah. But I think the biggest takeaway is just like having a place that you could send your work in the future. Because, I mean, we're not repped, so a lot of what we do is like self-representation and supporting ourselves and like creating connections ourselves and like reaching out to production companies. But like, just this gives us at least like a couple more avenues where when we finish a new script or, you know, treatment or whatnot, we can send it out to another place. And that's not a huge win, but that's, I think, a positive
sure.
thing to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. And in terms of that, how much stuff right now for you guys, like in terms of like, so you've pushed away sort of like the identity of like the productions part
yeah.
for you guys. And now it's like, let's get work as a directing duo, as writers, as
yeah.
sort of like mm-hmm. a creative team to come into projects.
Multi-hyphenates.
But you're still also like doing stuff that is like, you're not just being like, hire us for stuff. You also want to be pitching stuff
totally.
For ourselves
yeah.
too. How much stuff do you sort of keep in the stable or what's your sort of writing and like development relationship like right
yeah.
now to keep projects percolating?
I think we're always trying to fill that archive full of things. So, I mean, we have like a million sketch ideas in a Google Doc that like whenever we're okay. speaking to someone new, like we like throw them out,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. And then we try to create new ones
yeah.
as well.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not just repurposing like the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, of course. And we try to do that on a regular basis, being like, whether it's like a couple times a month, being like, what new ideas do you have? What new ideas do you have? Same thing for like short form web series. We have those kind of thing
mm-hmm.
ideas all the time, and like we'll put together like treatments or things like that for that. And then we both finished two pilots very recently and looking to do our next thing. And those things we're doing separately as opposed to all the other work. I think just because the longer form, it's just easier to like dig in and
yeah.
then like give it to someone else for feedback. But yeah, so that's kind of been a diversion to what we've been talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of like the collaborative tools that you use for that, you said Google.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Google Docs.
The Google services are the preferred method of tracking.
Are you sponsored by them?
We have a massively insane Google Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is just folders upon folders. And please don't hack it. But yeah. It's got like all of our ideas and... You know, it's like the hub of our business. That's like instead of an office, we have just this program on a computer.
I've seen several. Like, I've actually seen several TV projects in the last couple of years utilizing Google Docs as the primary like tool.
Yeah.
For writing, for collaborative writing.
Okay, interesting.
Like, if people aren't in the same room, you mean?
No, I mean even when they are.
Yeah.
Like, because it's the sort of thing where it's like. Like, if you're going to go write a movie script, I think Final Draft is still probably the standard, right? It's the standard bearer in terms of that type of tool.
Yeah.
But the collaborative aspect of it and the working with people who are remote aspects of that tool aren't necessarily as robust as...
Right, yeah.
And also as built into the rest of what you do in life.
It's true. Everyone has
like a Google
has
Doc.
A Gmail, right? Except for Yahoo people.
Yeah, but who trusts a Yahoo person?
Yeah, don't. Yeah.
Let's
even
be
speak
honest.
To them. I'm not going to work with them.
But that it's like you can have a producer who's all the way across the country.
Yeah.
And they can be working at the same time inside a Google Doc. Like, it actually has this, like... very robust feature that like you can use all the way up to the top of the business. You know?
Totally. And it's like there are so many different, again, not just keep plugging Google, but like there's spreadsheets. We can do like our budgets in there and we can also write in there and things like that.
Because that's totally what we do. Like we do have budgets and we don't divide this labor every, it's different every time. So one of us, like Michaela just wrote the most recent budget for a sketch. But
we did.
Past I've like written budgets, and then we'll just like look at it and make changes and duplicate it, and that's how we keep track of who we pay and like, you know, all the nitty gritty boring stuff that you have to do.
Yeah.
But then, you know, if we have a show bible, what we'll do is just like one of us can take like the character section, and one of us could take future episodes, and we could both be working on it at the same time.
Yeah.
It's great. I love it.
Well, cool. And so, what is this sort of like? What are you guys looking for the next like 6 months to sort of look like? You come out of this festival, you have these meetings, you're going to follow up on it. But like, where does this track for you guys now? Having, you know, made a bunch of short form stuff for yourselves, for other people, started to have conversations about long form stuff. Like, is it about getting representation now? Is it about taking on larger long form projects? Like, where are you headed?
I mean, according to NYTVF, you just need to do good work and reps will come to you. So that's what we're hoping will happen.
I'm not super concerned about getting representation just because, you know, it's we're just going to do the work that we have to do to get in front of people. And that would be helpful, but I think it's worthless to be stressed about the fact that you don't have representation or to expect it to make you better.
And I think we've like done okay. Like, just like sometimes emails can work.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so I think it you can break in without reps for sure. Mm-hmm. But we're like trying to make that transition between making short comedic stuff and going into long form. So we're gonna keep doing sketches and web series as our bread and butter, hopefully over the next 6 months, and then also try to work on something bigger. Because I think we love sketch, like, as its own thing. But we also, like, when we're working, when you're in the midst of sketch, you're just like, oh, I really wish I had, like, 22 minutes for this idea.
Yeah.
Because, like, that would be so cool. So we're definitely hankering to get there. Yeah.
I think my short-term dream would be just a bigger budget web series. Like, we've done five episodes of some web series, I think. But I would love to do just, like, something that's bigger in scope. So whereas we've done, like, 3 minute, 4 minute ones, I'd love to just do like an 8 to 12 minute bigger episodes, just like, you know, like a budget that is larger than what we've worked with in the past.
Sure.
And I think that would be exciting. And that's kind of like some stuff that I think we'd like to develop.
Yeah.
Dig it. Well, thanks for taking the time, guys.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That'll do it for another episode of the UCB Digital Podcast. Thanks out there for tuning in. We hope that you'll come back for another brand new episode next Tuesday and every Tuesday for the rest of our goddamn lives. Go to iTunes.com/UCB Comedy to subscribe to our show and all of the awesome shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. Thanks to Michaela and Lucian for sitting down and taking the time to chat with us. We hope we can collaborate with them sometime soon and check out all of their work at LucioProductions.com and social media everywhere. We're on social media too. We hope you'll connect with us. We're at UCB Digital on Twitter and Facebook. You can always find UCB
Comedy, who's got lots of great videos coming out, and podcasts, and all sorts of media at UCB Comedy all over the interwebs. And we'll be back next week with another brand new episode of this show. Until then, y'all, we'll see you on the internet.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.